From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in a loud Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Stephen McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Groy, I too make nice games.
For this week's episode, our topics are licensing and cheating. And so, if everyone is ready, let's start.
Stretch it out, stretch.
Let's
talk
less. I did it really fast.
That was a club remix.
I guess I had too much caffeine. I don't know.
Did you work in another loop of the song?
It was so fast. You're like, a loud Minneapolis is what I thought you said.
You know what
a
happened?
Loud Minneapolis.
Fine. You did a speed run of the intro.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I was at Summer Games Done Quick all of last week. They fast, y'all. They real fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good time. Listeners will maybe remember that I went last year as well, and I wasn't sure whether or not I was going to go this year, but I did. And it was nicer this year because it was not in Bloomington, which is a suburb very far. Not very far, but it's far from me enough to be annoying to get to. This was in downtown Minneapolis. So it was.
Well, every year on the show, you would say like, it takes place here. Why don't I go? And then last year you finally went.
Yes.
Now it's maybe a tradition.
Maybe. Yeah. I had a good time. It's kind of weird this year though. Cause it was, more like the previous, Summer Games Done Quick. I've only been to this one and the previous one. But from what I understand, there are like normally more events, more things are like talks. They have, they have board games, they have tournaments, and just a couple of tournaments, things like that. So like there's a bunch of other things you can do aside from just watching speedruns in it. And so I protecting a lot of that. I've been somewhat obsessed with the board game Spirit Island.
Yeah.
And I played a lot of that while we were at this thing.
Listeners may remember.
Yeah. And that was really fun. I watched it. I actually, it's kind of weird because I wasn't as excited to watch a lot of the speedruns this year. I think a lot of the speedruns that I did end up wanting to watch, because I remember looking at the schedule, I was like, oh, shoot, I'm really excited for a lot of these things. But then when I was there and trying to go to these, they were like really late in the night. So I ended up just not like going to a lot of them as much as I would have wanted to.
Yeah.
Plus, like Spirit Island took a lot of my time. It was really fun. I ran into Martha and Dylan there.
Hey,
they were there. I only ran into them once, which is kind of a shame. I wish that I could have spent more time with them there. But we were watching the Super Mario Odyssey speedrun.
Mm-hmm.
That one's really fun to do because every time they get a moon, they clap in the middle of the thing. But it's really funny because when they get the 3-moon one and the music's different, no one knows when to clap. So it's just like a bunch of scattered claps.
That's good.
You clap on the downbeat after the music ends.
Right.
That's how it should be, but everybody disagrees, I guess. They had come to a consensus where you clap like in between some notes. I'm like, no, that's not how you're supposed to do it.
So really, it was you that made it everybody off a little bit because you didn't want to be agreeing with the crowd.
No, the way
it doesn't matter that you were right.
The way it normally starts is people don't know how to do it, so they all clap, but eventually they reached a consensus somehow.
A wrong one.
Yeah, well, I was clapping separately. Everybody else would do this, and then you just hear a little distance. It's hilarious. I don't know. It was a good time. It's a good time. If, you know, you ever find yourself in Minneapolis around this time, because I don't know exactly when they are every year, I would recommend you go to Summer Games Done Quick.
It's in the summer.
It's in the summer because it's summer.
Summer games done quick.
They raised a lot of money this year as well, and it's always for a good cause. What I really like about Summer Games Done Quick and Awesome Games Done Quick, and really just the games done quick, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that like it's like the most wholesome game thing.
Yeah.
And it's good, and it feels good to be there at the event, and everybody is actively trying to be good. And if you're not trying to be good, they kick you out. I think that's special because like I feel like I oftentimes find myself very frustrated with gamers. I mean, because I make games and gamers are like, oh, these developers are so lazy. And I'm like, no, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. And I mean, that's still kind of the case when you go to a Games Done Quick event, but they're like, I don't know. It's just. the purpose, everybody there knows what the purpose is for. It's for a good cause, and they understand what the cause is. And what I really enjoy about being there too at the event is, like, it's very clear that Doctors Without Borders, which is what the Summer Games on Quick is for, is it's up front and in the center about, like, why they're there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to have speedruns, and everybody enjoys the speedruns and stuff. And it is about the speedrunning community. But, like, the speedrunning community is there for a purpose, and that purpose is to for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just think that's really cool.
Yeah. They're using their command of their stage that they've built in service of others.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I think that's just great. So it's a good time. It's worth the week. I stayed up way too late the last day.
Heard. How late, Stephen?
6 a.m. It's not great. The funny thing about Summer Games Are Quick is the schedule always goes longer and longer and longer than you expect. It's funny when you're there because, like, the first day, everything's about on time. But by the time you get to the third day, everything's off by, like, 30 minutes or an hour. And then you get to the end and it's, like, 3 hours off. Because, like, scheduling is hard. And this is a week-long event.
It is funny, though, because it is a speedrunning event.
Yeah.
And so, like, things lagging 3 hours behind.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's the thing, right? It's both a speedrunning event that celebrates speedrunning, but they're also, like, trying to explain and display cool speedrunning tricks and stuff.
Yeah,
and they're always like, we got time. Yeah, let's do this secret thing. Yeah. This bonus thing. And everybody loves it. So, why not?
Exactly. You know? Basically.
What they need to do is they need to schedule, like, ballast hours.
Yeah.
That are just there to be eaten by the things behind them.
They do that.
Do they?
Yeah, yes. It's just still not enough time.
Oh, man.
People are just having too much fun.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was my last week. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also supposed to explain Spider-Verse in 2 sentences.
Yeah, because you saw Spider-Verse on Saturday.
I did.
You both did.
Yes, me and Mark.
You both did. I did not go because I had other things.
Yes.
We'll get you next.
Okay, I will describe it in 2 sentences.
Okay.
Visually stunning. 2 parts. That's like, I did it in 4 words.
It's not a glam prank.
Yeah, I'll describe the entire story in 2 sentences.
Okay.
It was pretty good.
We both did.
You met the criteria.
Right, because it's only half the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 2 parts. Oh. It's a 2-parter thing.
Oh, so there's only, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not, I mean, the next one's coming out a year from now. I don't know why these two part movies don't do what The Matrix did, which is release part 2 and then, like, 4 months later release part 3.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's just, I don't know, you can't maximize your, marketing surface doing that. But I'd say just wait 8 months, then watch it, then wait 3 more months and watch the third.
Yeah, actually.
Like, I'll just watch it again.
That's a good idea.
I really loved the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. First movie was very good. Second one's really good too. It's just a part of one. It's part of two.
Okay.
And so I found it to be kind of frustrating.
Yeah, it makes it really hard to, like, think about how you really feel about it. You're like, I had a lot of fun, and then it ended, and that was a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I can't really say much more until I see the rest of it.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not a full, complete thought.
Oh.
So.
Huh. Hence Mark's 1 sentence.
Yeah. Yes.
Excellent.
Maybe like a movie like Empire Strikes Back, which has kind of a cliffhanger ending,
yeah,
but also does end.
Right. It completes, like, a bunch of stuff.
There are
right.
stories that complete.
Yeah.
And isn't really, it seems like this one is, the first part of it ends about 30 minutes before the movie ends.
Yeah.
And then the story picks up and then it stops.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's very,
weird.
Very
okay.
weird.
All right. Yeah. Now I want to watch just experience the weirdness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to complain about because it's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still kind of want to complain about it.
Yeah. That's how I felt too.
Yeah. So why weren't you at this movie with us?
Well, I had an event that I had RSVP'd to many, many weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I had a friend who did like a gin party. Gin, he calls it gin season opener. So he and one of his longtime like buddies do a bunch of like, they invent a bunch of cocktail recipes.
Oh.
It all involve gin because gin is a summer drink. And like,
it is?
I guess.
Okay.
And then.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm never going to say no to a gin. I mean, I will say no to a gin and tonic. Lots of times, but like not because it's winter. Does that make sense?
Right.
Anyway, so they have like this open house party, and people come over like during the day and stop by for a bit and have snacks and try out their cocktails and stuff. So we went to that, and that was my birthday. So I slept until 11.
Very carry the lead. It was your birthday.
Yeah, it was my birthday.
That was your birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
Yeah, we tried. We got happy listeners birthday. To wish you happy birthday last year. Maybe it was the year before. So, you know, have at it, folks.
Yes.
we missed it. And we're now even 2 weeks past because of calendar math.
Yeah, that's fine.
But let's get those birthday wishes rolling in. Nicegames.club/feedback at nicegamesclub on Twitter. Yep. On Mastodon.
Yep. Nicegames.club/discord.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm all in there.
It's good. You don't have to.
Wish Ellen a happy 30-something.
So yeah, 30-something. 30-something. I'll let you know when it changes from 30-something to something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right. Should we get into the meat and potatoes?
Yeah. So I'm going first today, talking about licensing.
Yes.
Which is a really broad topic because I wanted to talk about it conceptually
yeah.
by using some examples. Because there's a couple of different places as a game developer that this touches your life.
Yeah.
But I think it is really helpful. I think a lot of people learn a little bit about how something is licensed.
Yeah.
And then they learn about how something else is licensed and they don't understand the concept that connects those things.
Yeah.
And so they have to keep learning it over and over again instead of just learning the conceptual thing.
Do things license differently?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's simple and not simple, I guess. All right. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
So I put together an outline and I had the two of you kind of look through it and sort of like maybe pepper me with questions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's my first question, actually. Does licensing work differently in different cases? Yeah. And maybe that's too big. I don't know.
Well, the thing about, I mean, licensing is as a concept is pretty simple. It's just contract, right?
Right.
So it tends to work in usage. Mm-hmm. It's like a standard contract, right? So you don't negotiate a license most of the time.
Oh.
Now, you can. And there are definitely cases where you would do, but you'd more likely call that a contract to like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this is all colloquial terminology, really. But when you think about like the things you license, like the music that you buy, the TV shows you watch, the assets that you use in your game, generally those are things that you license under terms that exist already.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And so it can vary widely, but at its core, all it is just an agreement.
Okay.
For some consideration, you are able to use this under the terms specified in that license. There are categories that are like reused. Mm-hmm. You see the same license under things for convenience sake.
Like the Creative Commons license or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great example of one where that you provide no consideration and you get to use it.
Yeah.
Right? For like a CC0 license or something, which means that you don't have to credit. You know, these all have to. I'm not going to get into the details on what's what. You can look all this stuff up and you will have to as you use these things. Mm-hmm. But it ultimately just means like under what terms can you make use of this and what use can you make of it?
So the different licenses then, like, okay, so for instance, if I wanted to take a sound. Because I'm more familiar with this when I had to go to like freesounds.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I had to take a sound, they have different types of licensing. If I wanted to take a sound, I would need to pay attention to what kind of licensing that sound uses to see whether or not this sound can be used in my game.
Essentially, you need to pay so much attention because if you don't, you are committing a crime.
Ah, like, oh, okay.
That's
good to know.
That's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's actually... It's like a logistical ordeal.
Okay.
If you're like going to, especially for like a site like Freesound, or a place that offers royalty-free things for free.
Yeah.
Sometimes a lot of those, I always say, if you cannot be bothered with keeping track in a detailed spreadsheet and providing detailed credits in your games, just search for CC0.
Yeah.
That's like a quick tip.
That's what I did right away.
It's because then you know that it's licensed essentially completely open. It's as much public domain as a license holder, as a copyright holder, is allowed under the law to offer, right? You can't actually, as an individual, put something you create in the public domain. Like, that's not something you can actually do. Mm. Like, you own it. You have the copyright. You can't remove your own copyright.
Yeah.
You can license it away. You can sell it, but you can't give it free to everybody.
Okay.
But a CC0 basically just means that you provide everyone a license to use it however they want, and they do not need to credit you.
Okay.
That's essentially, in practice, what a public domain piece of work is, but it is still a licensed piece of work at the end of the day.
And to clarify for my own sake, so I don't break the law, I guess. if you use one of these things and it's just like a personal project and you don't like release it anywhere, is that infringing on these licenses?
Ah, okay. That's actually interesting because I think a lot of people think about like what fair use is, and they confuse fair use with the different kinds of licensing that's available to them.
Okay.
And in the a lot of Creative Commons license do specify commercial or non-commercial use.
Yeah.
In general, if you are using something that is personal to you, mm-hmm. that you are not distributing to anybody, then you are actually not using it.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like broadly speaking.
Yeah.
Someone could certainly write a license that says you are not allowed to play this in your backyard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure. Licenses could say anything.
I suppose.
They generally don't.
Yeah.
But but most of the things you encounter will be about commercial usage.
Yeah.
Now, what constitutes a commercial use? That can be fuzzy, right? And that can be argued. But for example, if you're using something and it's in a portfolio piece and you're showing it off at to recruiters, you can make an argument that that's not, you're not using that in a commercial way. You're not distributing it.
Sure.
But you could also make the case that, well, that is something that you are using in derivative works that you are using to further the commercial aims of your career.
Yeah.
But that's not, the use itself is not commercial, but your aims are commercial. Like, these are things that, like, ultimately have to get tested in court if they get tested.
Yeah.
And that's why no one knows the answers to these things definitively.
Oh.
Because it has to be tested in court, and everyone's scared to do that.
Yeah.
It, like, all of this stuff, a lot of this stuff essentially is like, you live in a society. Right?
Okay. Yeah, okay. That clarifies but things, though.
Generally, personal use, I mean, just like how you can copy a CD and keep a copy for, you know, in case the first one gets scratched.
Sure.
Like, you're not distributing it. You're not actually, the right to copy is not being violated because you're not actually making a copy in that sense.
Okay.
Right? And, you know, what do words mean, but.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the court decides.
Yeah.
I suppose. So theoretically, then, if I'm making it for myself and nobody else really sees it, then it's not a problem. If I make it for myself and then I give it to my brother because, I don't know, he's interested in it, I guess, then it's like maybe fuzzy or whatever, but it kind of is okay.
Ah, see, so this is where I made a little bit of a mistake describing it as commercial use, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because the other thing that people say is, well, I'm not making any money from it.
Right.
So it's still fine.
Yeah.
That's not what copyright is for.
Okay.
It's the right to copy.
Yeah.
It is not the right to sell or own or make money from or profit from. So that's why when people get really frustrated with, say, Nintendo because they don't release a certain old game on a new platform or whatever, like, that's annoying. It's legitimately annoying. You are right. You are correct to be angry about it. Mm. But you are not owed that, right?
Yeah.
One of the things about copyright that most people really just do not understand, especially people who like to sort of lean into, like, well, when is it okay to pirate something? And there are, you know, answers to that question, right? I'm not an absolutist on that at all.
Yeah.
And I'm also, to be clear, I'm a proponent of extremely wide fair use doctrine interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely wide.
Okay.
But the right to distribute something includes the right to have it not distributed.
Oh,
it belongs to you. Just because if you don't put it on for sale, that does not make it free.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it is very exhausting when people say things like that. Well, but otherwise, no one would have it. It's like, right. Someone gets to decide that no one has it. It's their right.
Yeah.
It's not your right.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't, you know, and this includes,
that's fair.
It includes very frustrating things like video game preservation.
Yeah.
Like, if a company doesn't want their work preserved, that is their right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, what happens when, you know, there are things like libraries and history and those things, those can be overriding concerns and those can be arguments made. But generally, I think when people start thinking about, like, well, I can't get a hold of the copyright owner because, you know, they don't leave an address anywhere. It's just sitting out on the internet. Like, I did my best, but, you know, I guess I can use it now. No.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it is very frustrating because I think people use their ignorance and then draw that conclusion in good faith a lot of times.
Yeah.
That's the other frustrating thing, is it's hard to get mad at that because a lot of times there's no malicious intent. There's like, well, this feels like the moral thing, the moral solution, and it doesn't seem like a problem, but you're not considering the sort of the, you know, who has the rights and what those rights entitle you to, what they mean, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking of other concerns that you can make an argument are greater, but that's not the winner of that argument.
Well, yeah, right? that argument has been made and decided on by the courts.
right.
But why was this so, like, if public domain is a thing, where did this evolve separately? Like, where did this idea of licensing come from?
So it's because the first things that were licensed was written works, and that includes music, the music publishing.
Okay.
That's why to this day music songwriting is published separate from recordings, but you don't have game design documents published separately from final games, right?
Yeah, okay.
Right, okay.
Because but that's a little quirk of history. But basically, it's like how the patent system works. If I'm an artist and I want to distribute my work, mm-hmm. well, I could you know, write it down and sell copies of it. But then what's to stop anyone from
doing the same
from
thing.
Just copying it? Like, there's just no mechanism to stop them from doing
it. Yeah,
that.
Okay.
Because it's, I mean, if you own a physical thing, why can't you do anything with it?
Yeah.
Like, what is the logic for that? And that's why, like, intellectual property is its own separate term.
Right.
Because it says to that artist, okay, in order so that you can actually distribute this, to so that art can get out there in the world. Because the important thing of it, and I think that it, that copyright is very important, and why these things need to have contracts related to the material contained within rather than the actual physical thing that they are, is because it gets art out of the upper class. It gets it out of the salon of the rich patron.
Yeah.
It gets it out of the opera house, and it gets it into the beer hall, and it gets it into the corner shop, and it gets it, you know, distributed to the working class, mm-hmm. because there are protections in place in order to allow such a wide distributions. And that is a cornerstone of society in a way of modern society in a way that I think is not well appreciated. Mm. And that leads to the sort of simple truth that, like, intellectual property needs to be licensed. And it is why everything is.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's something that really needs to be appreciated, you know? But it all stems from that core idea.
Okay.
And that's why a license can be anything. Because it starts from the fact that, like, independent of your physical ability to have or move or create or duplicate.
Yeah.
You need the permission to do it.
Okay.
As well.
I'm thinking about all the projects I've done and whether or not I've used assets that I shouldn't have.
Don't say anything you will regret. We can cut it from the podcast, but it's on the recording.
That's a rough part about this too, because like, especially if you're a student or you are not making any money, it's really hard to see the harm.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't taught any of this stuff in school.
Yeah.
So, like, how am I supposed to know it if I don't know it until you get in trouble for not knowing it?
Well, it's amazing how many memes you see. There's, like, it's a style now on YouTube that people use watermarked stock photos in YouTube videos.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, a style. It's, like, a meme-y style.
Yeah.
As kind of a joke. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm just making my independent things. Here's a thing. I didn't pay for it because there's the little watermark. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And it's, like... Yeah, that is funny.
Yeah,
and that itself is a transformative work, right? Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. But it also is stealing things, like in a way that is just accepted, and it's so strange to me. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, like I said, I think a lot of it is just like it's a lack of understanding. Like, I didn't know a lot of
it's this a stuff. Broad ignorance when it's like, oh, I can download this watermarked photo, but I have to pay for the real one.
Yeah,
that is not how it works.
Right,
you have to pay to use that image.
Yeah,
like the watermark is just to make it inconvenient for you to steal.
Yes,
but when you decide you don't care, then suddenly the watermark isn't doing its job, and you're just stealing it.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think, you know, it's interesting though, because I feel like also when it comes to enforcement, you know, like if you are a student and you didn't know and you used something that didn't have, use the sound effect from freesound.org, wasn't quite free or had a different license on it, and you didn't do the proper attribution. I mean, like, if the person who created that asset were to find your game and be like, hey, that's my thing, do you pay for it, whatever, I don't see that you didn't credit me like it says in my license you have to do, people would be more forgiving of someone who's a student and who isn't making any money off their game and so on and so forth. If like a YouTuber with 3 million followers grabs a watermarked photo or a series of watermarked photos from Shutterstock and then uses them in their video that they're making ad revenue off of, like, that becomes more of an issue.
Yes. And that's the sort of like the realpolitik of it all.
Right.
Right. And that's why streaming video games works, right? Everyone gets mad at Nintendo because Nintendo's very old fashioned about, I'm going to use Nintendo's example because they're very sort of old fashioned by the book.
Yeah.
But like, everyone's like, oh, you know, why are they taking down streams? Why are they monetizing my Mario Kart stream? It's like, because it's their work you're showing. It's not transformative. You're just displaying their work. Mm-hmm. And like that, it's like, well, it's free advertising. Still their work.
Yeah.
And like, as independent game developers, we're like, please, please stream my game.
Right.
Because it has a greater benefit. But that is why nobody sues streamers. Mm-hmm. But it is entirely a violation of copyright. Like, the argument whether it's right or not is one thing,
sure,
but it is not fair use. Mm. And it and copyright holders, game developers, publishers, they have the right to tell you to take it down.
Okay.
Now no one is ever going to.
Right.
And it's like a bad PR move.
Yeah.
And maybe morally it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But they do have that right.
Sure.
I have a question.
Yeah.
This is me pushing on that idea a little bit because I hope it'll help me understand a little bit more.
Right.
How is that different from me strapping on a pair of Nikes and then like, or an entire outfit of Nike?
Yeah.
Nike everywhere. I don't own a lot of Nike. It's just the first brand name that came into my head. You could say Lululemon or whatever crazy brand thing you want to say. So like, I'm head to toe in Nike. I've got the Nike headband. I've got the Nike jersey. I've got the Nike.
Picturing it now.
Nike everything.
Uh-huh.
The Nike tracksuit and crazy yellow Nike shoes.
Okay.
Or like gold. Like was it Michael Johnson ran in the 96 Olympics? I'm so old now. Anyway. Okay. So you're.
I've lost the picture.
I don't look like Michael Johnson. I don't look like him. Probably not that surprised. Anyway, so you're jogging along and you're like recording yourself doing some jogging thing,
right,
head to toe in Nike.
Yeah.
Why? And Nike owns their logo.
Yeah.
Why can't they sue you for being like head to toe in their brand? Why can't?
Because
what's the difference?
There's two elements to this.
Okay.
First,
teach me.
Is that there's like sort of an implicit, like they sold you it's an implicit license to display it out in the world because you bought it for that purpose. They sold it to you for that reason, right? It's not because they get their logo out and that's advertising.
Yeah.
It's because you are not distributing a copyrighted work by wearing it on your shirt.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why you can wear, like you can design, you can draw a logo of your favorite thing on a t-shirt and wear it to the mall. But if you're filmed for an interview, they have to blur it out because they're distributing it, but you walking around with it or posting a picture on YouTube or on Facebook or whatever is not the same thing.
Okay.
Even though literally it kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like that's why fair use is always is best determined on a case by case basis.
Yeah.
Because these things are, I mean, when people are like, oh, it's so confusing, like copyright and trademark, it's like, well, apply some common sense to the situation at hand and then most people will agree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's general, but it's frustrating because we want an applicable standard that we apply to all situations.
Yeah.
The second reason that is not an issue, and this is also why you'll watch television and you'll see like a soda can and it'll have a big sticker on it to block the logo.
Yeah.
They're not trying to protect themselves from copyright infringement. What they're trying to do is not give free advertising to whatever soda thing is, because that's a trademark issue generally. Like Nike owns the copyright to their logo essentially, but the word Nike, for example, is not, they don't copyright the word Nike.
Mm-hmm.
One, because it's a Greek god, but also because it's just not, it's too insubstantial to hold a copyright.
Yeah.
And so, but they have the trademark to it,
right,
which means that only they can trade in a marketplace using that. It's actually quite a very different concept.
Oh.
But if you're making a movie and you're shooting out in the world, getting some footage, you don't have to blur all the company logos.
Yeah.
They put them out there.
Yeah.
Like it's, you're not distributing it, they're distributing it.
Okay.
Right?
Like, but then you're distributing the movie that has the footage of Nike in it.
Right, but what you're distributing is your movie. You're not using their work as a component of your movie, even though it technically is in it. So this is why
it
seems like it bends your brain, but when you just think about it practically,
yeah,
like, oh, no, that is right.
Right.
I'm not distributing that Pepsi machine
right.
just because it was in the shot, or even just because I had a character walk up and say, oh, you know, I'm trying to get my Pepsi out of this Pepsi machine.
Yeah.
Like that, you're still not, you're not violating Pepsi's copyright, even if you write it into your script.
Right. But if you are, if it's like you write a story about a living Pepsi machine.
Right. And
that becomes a different thing.
That is exactly the difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can feel subtle, but then if you're not looking at it mathematically and just thinking about it like an average person would,
yeah,
it suddenly just makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's, people think of copyright and ownership and trademark as this complicated thing. And when they think about it as this complicated, unknowable thing, it prevents them from just coming up with just the obvious solutions to a lot of these situations.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. Because like trying to make sense of this is like, my brain is going back to the fair use conversation we had, because you did another episode on that topic, and like had him like twist my brain into the right knots to make sure it all fit in the right place, and I'm trying to do the same thing here and I don't have to.
Yeah.
Well, that's a relief.
I do. I'm still confused, but I'm trying to get it better.
You probably didn't break any laws.
Okay. Well, okay, so I'll wrap up this topic with sort of a case study,
okay.
Which is about fonts.
Fonts
is really interesting as we're all get detailed, but it's really, I'm bringing this up just to sort of explain the difference between like use and distribution and what a license can cover, right? So if you have a font in your game and you use it for your UI, basically, when you own that font, you have the right to use it in your works, right?
Yep.
Like if you have a font installed on your computer and it's legitimately installed, the license you have to it is to use it, right? That's all you're really doing. Now, but it's a video game and you can decompile it. And sometimes it's not all, you know, a person can just open up the file. So what happens if you, in order to display it in your UI, I think these days we do bitmap fonts so that we get into that. But you can also distribute the font and then your game will render the font. But in order to do that, you have to just put the font file in your game.
Right.
That now we're in the distribution territory.
Okay.
Because someone can just, without a ton of effort, take it out.
Yeah.
Now, you could obfuscate that. You can make it very difficult. And then you may feel, in fact, you may in fact be like in the clear there that you're not distributing it. Because what you're actually doing is you're essentially like, you know, shipping a locked safe, you know, with the understanding no one will be able to open it, right? Knowing that, you know, it's possible. There's thresholds to reasonability for these sorts of things.
Okay, yeah.
One thing as game designers that sort of helps us in favor in this case is that very often we don't ship font files with our games. What we do is we convert them into bitmap fonts so they'll be rendered by GPUs. So in a quirk of technical, you know, happenstance, the way we tend to render out font files means we're not actually distributing the original file that we licensed.
Oh.
Isn't that kind of weird?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because if you get that bitmap thing, like it'll see all the letters there in bitmap, but then one, you can't use that in Word, and two, that's no different than displaying all the letters in your UI,
right? Yeah, that's
on screen,
literally what it's
right?
for.
Yeah. Someone could copy it that way too, because there's an understanding of how fonts work, what the end user sees or has, right? That's why when you distribute PDFs, they'll have fonts in them, but then they'll be encrypted because that makes them safe to distribute.
Right.
Even though you can break that encryption, extract that font,
yeah,
and then it's yours.
Yeah.
And then you could maybe say that the person who sent that PDF to you distributed that font to you. But again, real politic. It's the real world. This is the situation we've come across.
Okay.
So that's so if you think about that in terms of like all the third-party assets you use, you know, if you use them in your game, especially like a 3D model, then that 3D model is in your files.
Yeah.
Right. So are you distributing it? Well, you're not distributing it in the same manner that it came to you. You're not selling it, but someone could decompile your game and get that asset. It's where it gets kind of fuzzy. Mm-hmm. But again, like, how else are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Also, you read the license and it says you can use it in your game. Mm-hmm. Then that just covers you.
Then,
right.
Regardless of any of the potential negative outcomes. That's why the license, the actual understanding the license is important, because sometimes it could be you're allowed to use this as reference to make your own work, or you're allowed to use this in non-commercial things, or is, you know, or you're allowed to use this commercially, but you're not allowed to use it under this circumstance.
Yeah.
And, you know, so understanding those licenses is really important to know what you can actually do, and not just that, well, I bought it off a thing. I downloaded it. It's the same format as this other thing. So it must work the same way.
Yeah.
That's often true, but it's not always true.
Yeah.
Right. And so music, fonts and other types of assets tend to, you just got to like just double check these things.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. This is all starting to make, it's making sense to me now. And reminded of like how different mods are licensed. Cause like, you know, they'll oftentimes be like, you can use this mod in your work or whatever. Or in your other works, your other mods, and sometimes they'll be like, "Don't use this mod unless you credit me," or blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting. It makes sense. You do have to take it case by case.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and it's hard, but you gotta. And the more you understand these things conceptually, the easier it will be just to review these things.
Yeah.
You know, the more confident. And that's the thing about having confidence that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
That you understand it, and that you're respecting the work that you purchased a license to, you didn't purchase the work.
Yeah.
Right? The even though you put that mod in your game, even though you changed it a little bit, like that material is still, the copyright is still owned by the creator.
Yeah.
You've just licensed it for a particular use. It might be a broad license. But the more you understand that, the each time you sort of like get that in your head of how it works, it does get easier and easier to think of it as you go. Okay. And last thing, think about that for your own works. If you're distributing assets, if you're distributing your game, if you're giving away for free on itch or something, think about like how you might want to make sure that like, well, if it's something, if you're distributing source code in particular, like how you want to make sure that it's licensed. Do you want it to be open source? Okay, it's open source. People can look at it, but do you want to make it also freely distributable?
Right.
There are other types of open source, and that's a whole other topic. Mm. But think about it not just for the work you use, but for your own work.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Speaking of our own work.
Ooh, Steven.
Yeah, I'm on it. Glom, we're talking about it again.
Oh. That's what you meant.
Never mind. Glom. Nicegames.club/glom. You can buy it today, right now. It is out. It's actually been out for a week.
You could have bought it yesterday.
You could have bought it yesterday.
Think of how silly you must feel right now.
I know. You don't have
that. You didn't.
You could have had her.
But
right?
You can fix that.
Yes. Go buy the game. It's great. It's fun. It's a great party game. It's a great, frankly, it's a good game because it's not just a party game, but it's also like a thinking game. It's like creative. It's so fun.
I like to describe it as silly but thoughtful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is not two things you see together very often.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of us for that.
Yeah.
We did good.
It's like it's a good comedy game.
Yeah.
In that way. That's a good way. I like silly but thoughtful. Because like good comedy is silly but thoughtful. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, there's something about laughing. There's something about feeling clever and laughing at the same time.
Yeah.
It's the best
that is
feeling.
Such a satisfying feeling.
Yep. Yeah.
And I won't say that this game will improve your mood and make your day better.
Yeah.
But you know, go buy Glom.
Yes. Nicegames.club/glom, GLOM.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Speaking of short and sweet.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It
lightning doesn't strike twice. Not in one episode of Nice Games Club anyway.
No.
Yeah. So I have been thinking about this and doing research, and the more that I think about it and the more that I research, the more that I want to say.
Okay.
So we're gonna split this topic into probably two parts. The first of which will be now. And the second, which will be a special sometime in the future. But what I want to do is just kind of think, you know how like I often ask a bunch of fundamental questions about a topic and then we talk about it for a while. And I'm like, oh, wow, I haven't thought about it that way.
Yeah.
And then
we sound just like that.
Yeah, we do.
And then we like run out of time before we actually get to the practical applications and we kind of blah, blah, blah at the end.
Uh-huh.
Well, I want to dedicate more time to the practical applications.
Yeah.
That's going to be the part two. And
preempting the audience disappointment in the completeness of this topic.
Yeah, what the heck? We just talked about Spider-Verse part one. This is cheating part one.
It's on theme then.
Yeah, it's perfect. We set it up at the beginning. And
but also,
bring it around.
When you propose this as a topic, I'm like, we've done that before. It's just that it's come up a lot.
Yeah.
But we've never been able to really devote time to it.
Yeah.
So this is a good plan.
Well, yeah.
I'm excited to be a part of it.
You guys, we came up with this plan together an hour ago over tater tots.
Oh, it was a good plan, Alan. Good job.
Okay, all right. So today we're going to do the more conceptual, like basic stuff and some story time.
Yeah.
And then the next time we get to part two, we'll do a special and we'll talk about, okay, well, what the heck do you do about it? Mm. And the answer will, of course, be it depends. But then we'll spend an hour talking about what it depends on.
Sure.
Anyway, okay, so today, cheating, part one.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about some examples of cheating or maybe some things that are cheating and like what makes them cheating and have you done this before? And
sure.
stuff like that. Okay. So the first example, you've played Monopoly. Everyone has suffered through Monopoly. Have you ever had the opportunity to be the banker?
Yes.
In my house, there was no banker. We just had the tray out.
Freaking communist.
And then we kind of all shared the responsibility.
No.
Which I think is why we had less fun than even most
people. Oh, that explains so much. Yeah.
So it was like in the middle and everyone was like a watchdog on the bank?
I think no one had the commitment to care enough. I think we're just like, oh, the rules are this is how it works. Okay, then, you know, people just grabbed money when they needed it.
Nope, couldn't do that. Sorry.
You had a lot of cheaters in your
No, we didn't necessarily have cheaters, but we were concerned about it.
That's good.
That is such a platonic ideal of like how games work, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like you trust everybody, but you got to keep your eye on them.
Yeah.
You trust them because you're keeping your eye on them.
Right.
So in my family, we had more of a blind trust approach.
Okay.
And found out years later that my sister, who always played the banker, mm-hmm. we thought that she was playing the banker because she would just get bored. She was the youngest, right? She's my younger sister.
Yeah.
No, she was stealing the whole time.
What?
She revealed this like a couple years ago. She's like, oh no, I always cheated at Monopoly. Whenever I was the banker, I was always taking cash.
I love everything about this. Everything.
No.
Yeah. So.
No one's time was ruined, right? She got some, she was bored by Monopoly because it's boring, but then got to find some fun in it at the expense of essentially nobody.
Disagree.
I mean, what's
the only thing
what's a little grand larceny?
The only thing I disagree with is your first point, in that some time was wasted. We were playing Monopoly.
That's true.
Anyway. Okay. So, taking money from the bank during Monopoly, cheating or not?
Yes.
I mean, I want to say no.
Yes.
Cheating, but it doesn't matter?
Cheating, but have at it.
Okay. Stephen's like, no.
Yeah.
We would have a hard time playing Monopoly.
Well, okay. I actually am kind of a rules guy, so... Yeah. I think it's a case of like if you know, for a family game when no one is really that invested and then you find out later, who cares?
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
No, if this was happening in my house.
If it's the kind of thing that would upset someone if they found out during the game, then you're actually introducing a lot of risk to family fun time.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. We could have played something else, but like we could have always played Hearth. There's always Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, like, she might have been 8 when she was doing this, and I would have been 12, because I'm 4 years older than her, and 8 plus 4 is 12.
Mm-hmm. Checks out.
Can't do calendar math, though. Anyway, yeah, I think 12-year-old me might have been upset, because 12-year-old me was probably kind of an idiot. But, like, 30-something-year-old me is less of an idiot and doesn't care.
Uh-huh.
Thinks it's really funny.
Right.
What does 30-something-year-old me think, then? What does that mean for me? Because I would care.
Only you can answer your question about whether you would be mad if Charles cheated at Monopoly.
I absolutely would.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah. So upset.
Okay.
Anyways.
Next example.
Next example, yes.
So one of the very first video games I learned how to play,
mm-hmm.
this is weird, right? I mean, like, Super Nintendo, yes. But then, like, on computer, I had a friend when I was a kid who got me a little more into computer games. Because I used to, this is weird, I used to play computer games with my grandpa. Mm-hmm. He was into computer games.
Cool.
And my grandpa was into computer games. He had me like play Commander Keen. It was amazing.
Aw.
And then I would go, whenever I was over at grandma and grandpa's house, I'd go visit my friend. And he had like a fancy computer and all the latest game stations and Segas and stuff.
Yeah.
And he also had StarCraft. And so he taught me how to play StarCraft and showed me all the cheats. So then I went home and I got StarCraft and I didn't really care about playing the campaign the right way. I just wanted to have lots of caterpillars.
Yeah.
Yes, they're Reavers, but they were caterpillars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all the Archons, because they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they say really cool stuff like, power overwhelming. You know, like, who doesn't want to hear that? So, of course, like, I start the campaign up and the instant, the first thing, I'm showing the money. And like, yeah, anyway. So I have all the things. And I'm blowing through the story because when you have all the resources, of course, you're going to blow through the story and it doesn't matter. And it's because it's not really about the story for me at this point. It's just about me flattening the map with a 20 Reavers or whatever. So is that cheating?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Tell me. Tell me why, Steven. I mean,
because the rules have been established, but the game gives you an option to not do that. But it's like a...
So know that.
No. It is cheating.
I didn't even have to argue with him.
No, you don't, because I don't have a fully fleshed concept on it. I just wanted to say it was cheating.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Mark.
Because you changed the rules.
Okay, tell me more.
Curses.
Well, now you're following the rules. They're just up to you.
Gotcha. Okay. Steven hates
That's
it.
That's a good answer. That's why I hate it.
I feel like it's cheating because the but the developers give you the tools to change the rules.
Exactly.
But the tool is labeled as a cheat, right? It's not intended.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, listeners know that I'm a huge advocate for like developer intent, right? So you were not playing the developer intended experience.
Yes.
But that's fine. That doesn't mean you're cheating. That just means you're playing something else with your own
rules. Yeah, okay.
Like I might have objections to it on some grounds.
Sure.
But not these grounds.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, okay. First off, if someone is cheating, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing when I say it is cheating.
Sure.
Unless it's Charles.
Right.
But because, like, ultimately, you know, StarCraft is your own game, so you should do whatever the heck you want with it. If you want to mod it so that you have all the money, you don't even have to use the cheats. If you just want to change the game and do your own thing, I guess that's fine. Do what you want with your own thing.
Everything's a Reaver.
Sure.
Reavers and Zerglings coming together.
Yes, all of those words are words, I guess. I don't know anything about StarCraft.
Apparently not.
He's a little younger than us.
There's Zergrush. That's all I know.
Okay.
Anyways, you can do what you want with it. But I still think that the developers created a game with this certain rule set, mm-hmm. intending for you to have a certain limit on your money or whatever it is, mm-hmm. Your resources. And using that cheat breaks that rule. Which is cheating.
Then why they put the code in there?
Because, well, frankly, they probably put it in there so they could use their own things to figure out the game so they could develop
it. Yeah, that's an interesting distinction that, like, I don't care about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is, like, the developer put those things in, but very friendly sometimes just for debug.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't care if people found it, but, yeah. like, I don't think a lot of times those cheats, and sometimes, yes, but a lot of times those cheats are not meant for player use.
Right.
Even if they're not necessarily restricted from player use.
Sure.
But that doesn't change my opinion at all because it's still just your rules.
Like, right. Ultimately, it doesn't change my opinion either. I just classify that as cheating, but like you can do what you want.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're not. I used it to create lots of Reavers. It doesn't make me a bad person.
Right.
I killed all the other aliens.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make me a bad person.
Right.
Okay.
You tell your therapist that? So no. What's a few hundred thousand dead? I mean, in my heart, I'm a good person.
No one likes the Terrans. They're all criminals.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways.
Okay. Next one.
Uh-huh.
Well, real quick, I think what this is getting at is like because we've said this on the show before. Yep. It's okay to cheat.
Yes.
And so but that's using Steven's definition of cheating.
Yeah.
I think when you ask me if it's cheating, I say no.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, it's not bad. So it's all, I mean, it's all just, what are words?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Episode's over, I guess.
I just like the defined.
Well, the connotation is important.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because, like, cheating means something in some context. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we've, in this conversation, we've sort of, without saying it, agreed that cheating is when you cross the line. And we don't even say what that means. But in other conversations we've had about cheating, we talk about cheating as like a fun tool, who cares, and not hurting anybody.
Right.
But in this conversation, we would say that's not cheating.
I have two more examples.
Okay.
Ellen's
like, I don't want your divert.
Like, we're not there yet, Mark. Yeah. We're not ready. No, I have two more examples. I think the first example is going to be maybe close to what we just talked about, but I think the last one's going to throw you guys for a little loop.
Yay.
And if I'm wrong, that's interesting. Then I'll be thrown for a loop. All right. Okay.
Someone will be thrown for a loop tonight. Who will it be?
It's so hot in this room. We can't laugh because we breathe more. And then it gets hot.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. I'm going to swear you guys.
You had some more examples.
I did. I'm working up to it.
Okay.
Because I'm preparing everyone for some profanity.
Oh, no. Okay.
The damned water temple, you guys. That damned water temple.
That's barely a curse word. I would accept that.
I had to tone it down from what was in my head.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Thank you for that.
Yeah. You know the one. You know the one I'm talking about.
Yes.
In Ocarina of Time.
I don't. I've never played Ocarina of Time.
I played Ocarina of Time up to the point where you got to Adult Link and it got too scary for me because of all the re-dead, so I stopped playing.
Oh my gosh, you guys are that's Steven, that's adorable.
Oh.
And Mark, wow. I'm thrown for a loop.
Oh, it worked. Okay, this is the wrong one, though. This is the fourth one.
But I've heard people say about how horrible it is. Yeah. But I might need you to explain it from.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really, really difficult, right?
Yeah. And is that it?
No.
It's both difficult and tedious because you have to keep going into the menu to switch your boots from metal boots to non-metal boots to go sync up and down the water.
Right. Like collecting zoni.
Yeah. And the water's going up and down, and it's like, you know, like N64 era polygons, and it's difficult to make sense of the world sometimes. And I played it after everyone else because I was just, you know, always like a generation or two behind in systems.
Okay.
And so I was stuck, and I was angry, and I was stuck, and I was angry, and I tried to walk away, come back to it, nope, still stuck, and I'm even more confused because I spent 3 days away from it trying to like just shake my brain. And no, I just like lost track of where I was.
Yeah.
So I just looked it up.
Yeah. Okay.
I looked it up. I found out a guide, and I followed it exactly, and I still was lost. And I tried again, and I followed it exactly, and I still was lost. And I found another guide, and I followed that one, and finally worked.
Nice.
Was that cheating?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Nah, it's not cheating. You just need some help. Advice. Yeah, that's not cheating.
I mean, step by step showed me what to do.
Whatever. It's still not
cheating. I mean, I think what you did is you just skipped a challenge. Like,
If
you want to say like cheating is fine, then sure, that's cheating because it wasn't what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
You got the answer to the puzzle without figuring out yourself.
Sure.
You know, it's getting it's quiz show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I mean, who's going to get mad about that?
Yeah.
So by other definition, it's not cheating because you're not wrecking anything. You're not ruining any experience.
By my definition of cheating, which is you're breaking the rules, I don't think you're breaking the rules. You just got someone to help you out.
Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know.
Yeah, because that's fine. The mechanics of the game don't force you to figure it out on
your own. Ultimately, the game just wants you to get through the temple. And if you get, however you get through, the game doesn't know how you got through the temple. If you got through the temple by a guide or you figured it out yourself, whatever.
Right.
I think the developers intended for you to try to solve this puzzle.
Oh, I did. I did try.
Yeah. And so they had an experience in mind, but like in order for you to continue having the rest of the experience, you used a guide to help you get through this particularly frustrating experience. I would not define that as cheating.
I think you're underselling it. What Ellen actually did was just skip it.
No,
by following instructions.
Absolutely.
It wasn't assistance. It wasn't help.
Okay, that's fair.
It was the answer.
That's fair.
Right?
That's fair. Yeah, that's
so fair. So how is that different from, say, putting in a code to skip to the next level? Other than the labor you have to do.
Uh-huh.
Is that worth anything? In my mind, no.
Okay, I got to think about this. Because this is important, because I had a specific definition of how cheating worked, and Mark is trying to challenge that, and I don't appreciate it.
would you say you're thrown for a loop?
No!
It was actually two of the three of us got thrown for a loop.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and we haven't gotten to the last story yet either.
I know.
I'm still on the table, folks.
That is a good question that... What's the difference between it? I think part of the difference is, I don't know. I guess to me, it just feels like you're just getting, ultimately you are skipping it.
Yeah.
But like, it'd be just like if, I don't know, I was having a hard time doing a certain jump and I asked my dad to help me get through it in Super Mario 64 or something. It is it's an experience that the developer did not intend, but I don't think you're breaking the rules because my dad would still have to go through the game using the same set of rules that I had. Mm-hmm. I was locked on.
Right.
Right.
So it feels to me like it's not cheating in that way. I would not describe it as cheating. I would describe it as you missing out on an experience, but that experience you had been trying.
An aneurysm.
Yeah, and you were trying to have that experience, and the experience was frustrating and difficult for you at the time. So you opted to skip it. So I think that's. I would not classify that as cheating, but I would classify that as skipping out on missing out on an experience.
Yeah,
I have a definition for what's different about it.
Okay, yes.
Which is, and this is very contextual. Depends on the person doing the skipping.
Yeah,
right. And this just applies if you're going through a guide or you know doing whatever.
Yeah,
is the act of play.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still happening?
Oh.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Because we think about, we're defining games in terms of challenge and completion.
Yeah.
But that's not what games are.
Right.
Games are experiences. They're it's that labor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the act of play. Mm-hmm. And I was, at times that I have looked up the answer and gone through it, It has been a skip because I was not playing.
Yeah, okay.
I was just pressing buttons.
That's fair.
Other times, I was like, is it over there or over there? I don't want to spend the time to look in both directions. I'll look up to see which direction it is. Mm-hmm. But then I still get to play the game.
Yeah, okay.
I just skipped out on some frustrating things.
You just got a hint.
It's case by case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, for me, with the Water Temple, the any possibility of play had left hours before. And so
right as in the right. in the maybe two-thirds of your untarnished attempts unassisted attempts
right
you were also no longer playing the game.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I definitely wasn't having fun.
Yeah,
right. Like, and so yeah, so it makes I think that's an
operating the software
basically. Yes, I was attempting.
So we're all doing.
Yeah. okay, last one.
Okay.
I'm getting ready.
Get right? ready.
Gosh.
Limber up.
Uh-huh.
All right. So about more or less every week, I get to do brunch with my husband's sister and her husband and their two boys, my nephews. I have three nephews, but one of them is with a different sister. So I have my two nephews, one who's almost two, and one who's almost seven, a couple months away from being seven, just finished kindergarten.
Ooh, that's it's like cool.
He was an old kindergartner. Mm. Anyway, so he, like, summer break started on Saturday for him, super exciting, and then Sunday we had brunch and went over, and so he received as a gift for the start of summer vacation a Nintendo 64.
Ooh. Right? Really?
Lucky kid.
I know.
Nintendo 64!
Whole stack of games.
That's so great. I love it.
He's got 007, GoldenEye. He's got like NBA Jam.
Yeah.
He's got Star Fox.
Wow.
Right?
Oh, that's great.
He's got Smash Brothers.
Ooh.
And he has Mario Kart 64.
Nice.
Which he really likes. And so he's played some Mario Kart on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which was very cute because I think when he was playing Switch, he like used like the motion controls.
Uh-huh.
So he started trying to use that. He was like, trying to turn the 64 controller all the way one way, and then anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's had it for a day at this point, and it's an older style controller, and it's pretty big, and he's got smaller hands.
Yep.
So he's really excited to play, and we go play, and we start playing. Mario Kart 64, and I want to be Bowser because it's funny. Bowser's huge, and he's on this tiny cart.
Yeah,
love playing Bowser.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he wants to be Mario. He did make me play as Luigi once, just for thematic purposes, I guess. Anyway, and you know, he's a kid. He really wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So he asked me. He said, "Can you let me win? I want to win." And okay. I said, "Okay."
Okay.
And I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheating?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Mark, why isn't it cheating?
Because he said, "Do you want to play this game?" And you said yes.
Okay. Steven?
You agreed to the terms of the encounter. And you both fulfilled your briefs.
We did both have fun. He had fun and I also had fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did you learn something from that?
Did I learn something?
Did your nephew learn something from that experience?
I mean, he's always learning.
My point is, he's supposed to get beat down. That's how you learn.
Yeah, well, that's why Eric and John came in later, and Eric demolished everyone.
Well, there you go.
But,
No, okay.
Okay, back to the original example.
I do think it's cheating.
Okay.
But, you know, it's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not have done it, but it's fine.
You'd have not let that kid win.
No, I think that's really interesting.
Well, I would not let my nephew win.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I don't have a nephew. But
okay, okay.
Like...
All right.
Yeah.
You are playing Mario Kart 64 with Ellen's nephew. Ellen's nephew asks you,
"Oh man,
let him win."
Do I do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I probably would do it in that because it would be awkward, but I think that would still be cheating.
Yeah.
I think it's still cheating.
You're doing the cheating.
Yeah, okay. It's not like I've never cheated before. You act like I've never cheated before. I'm not standing on some moral high ground. I think cheating is fine. I would just define it as cheating. Just know what you're doing. That is what you're doing. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
You're just changing the experience so that your nephew has a good time.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
It was really interesting. It was like, and you know, it was interesting for me to watch my own like emotional reaction to that question.
Yeah.
Because like I instantly said yes. And then after we were playing and I'm like, did I do the right thing as Auntie Ellen to like say yes to this? Like, am I not supposed to teach him that he's supposed to earn his wins? And I'm like, no, what he learned here was that I'm looking out for him having a good time.
Yeah.
And that's more important.
Yeah, there's a school of thought, which is like, don't let your kids win. Teach them the value of like fair sport. And I really, really reject that. Mm. Like, I think, one, because I don't think winning has value.
Sure, right.
I've said that before about games.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that like the more you value winning, the worse off you are in life, I think. I mean, it has tangible benefits.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In competitive environments.
Yeah.
But you can get those elsewhere. Mm. And so I think like teaching the kid that lesson that like, no, they can't just have it given to them. It feels unfair and it feels like, you know, just giving them a treat for no thing. But it's a game that is a treat for them.
Yeah.
Right.
And also I feel like a lot of times people will, you know, use that as a way to feel better about themselves because they beat a 7-year-old at an old video game.
Well, I mean, that's not part of my argument.
Well, no, it's part of my argument. I think people do that.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, but I think, I don't know. I think there's, like, I guess I agree with that. I don't think that it's good to teach kids that, like, you know, you can only win if somebody else loses. Yeah. You can only enjoy an experience if somebody else is not enjoying it.
Yeah, the key there is not to deny them that experience. It's to then teach them the follow-up, which is empathy, which is that if someone else asks them to throw a game, like a younger sibling, that's the lesson they should learn.
Yeah.
That it's okay. Like that, and that's the thing about selflessness. And like those are the kinds of things that you can teach way better with other methods, including playing games, than the hard lesson of you gotta earn your bones.
Right.
You know?
Well, see, and that's the thing, right? I feel like I would want to change the competition instead of making it just you know, your nephew just automatically wins. Like I would do it where like I have to, I don't know, what, how would you handicap yourself in Mario Kart 64? I can't think of anything.
Throw bananas and run into them.
You can't use any items. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I would try to make the challenge more interesting for yourself and more interesting for my nephew.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean if they get some satisfaction out of like the skill of trying something until they get good at it.
Yeah.
And if they're denied that by not having that challenge set to them, they will know that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You read their reactions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to govern it for them.
Yeah.
You know, trust the children.
I mean, but also you're playing the game too. That's what I'm saying. So you both should be able to get an enjoyable experience out of it.
Right. Yeah. The point of the experience isn't to win a Mario Kart, it's to spend time with my nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did, and we had a really good time. And I did what you said, Stephen, just naturally, like, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to beat my nephew. I am going to try to get as close as I can to right behind him. So whatever he is, I need to be the next place back.
Yeah.
And that was a good challenge.
There's a shared fiction to that people do with kids all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many kids have knocked me over with like a tennis ball.
Yeah.
And they know a tennis ball is not going to knock me over.
Right. Yeah.
And that's part of what's fun about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like that, it's those fictions are healthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
they're just, you know, just barely ecking it out. Like they know that that's a fiction. They asked you to participate.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and I said, absolutely, I will. And also, you should know, like, not everyone's going to say yes to that question. Mm.
That's a really good
reaction.
Which is really good. And so he and I had a really good time playing one-on-one. And then we had a couple other people play and they didn't have, you know, we didn't have that conversation with them. They didn't let him win. And he was a little frustrated by it. And so I had to remind him, like, remember, I told you, like, not everyone's going to say yes to that question. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to keep playing, that's fine. We can stop. And we did. And we ended up going down in the basement and playing dodgeball. Pretty cool.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Exactly. But I think the cool thing I'm going to end part one on is that after we played a few games of Mario Kart and he was getting more familiar with the controls, not familiar enough, they didn't stop like steering.
Yeah.
Like it was a wheel.
Yeah.
Which was adorable. Mm-hmm. But like, we switched to a different track and I just completely bombed. And he beat the whole field on his own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He came in number one.
Nice.
No cheating. Mm-hmm. He just beat me.
Yeah.
And he beat all the other computer characters. He just won.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about that like a few more times throughout the rest of the day. Even when we were done playing, he's like, I won. I'm like, yeah, you completely won. And there was like no, ifs, ands, or buts. Like, you won that race.
Right.
And he felt pretty good about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, he wouldn't have had that opportunity if he hadn't been, you know, allowed to just play and feel good about playing, mm-hmm. which is yeah. what I enabled him to do by agreeing to his rules.
Yes.
Right. Some people are motivated by the, like, climbing the wall, and some people just want to hang out, and then they, by osmosis, you know, absorb what they need to get over that wall.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. like, it's not the same for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I guess he's more of an osmosis kid. And yeah. I get that because I feel like I'm more of an osmosis person. So, yeah. Yeah. Dodgeball was cool too. There are no rules to dodgeball.
I can't cheat them.
Exactly.
Now I'm just imagining you like, all right, I let you win here, but because there are no rules, I'm going to pelt you with dodgeballs for 20 minutes.
We did have one thing where we had one like game mode to dodgeball. Yeah. There are a few different game modes. One of them is called butt ball, where you just throw the balls at your butts. Nice. That's what you do.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another one where we just like traded off, like lining all the balls up in a row. And then the other person would stand on the other side of the room, and the other person next to the balls would just pick them up one at a time, just like chuck them really fast. Anyway.
That's fun.
Yeah, he's a cool kid. Cool kids. Mm-hmm. Definitely recommend nephews.
I'll work on that. How am I supposed to take that home?
I didn't expect you to dig into it more so.
10 out of 10 would create lasting memories again.
That's our show. For show notes and links on today's topics, go to our website, nicegames.club.
Forget that. Go to nicegames.club/glom.
Yeah, go there.
Buy glom.
Yes, yes. All correct. Nicegames.club/glom. Go there. Get our game. Visit us on Twitter and Mastodon at Nice Games Club, where Dale tweets and toots about game dev resources in puppy appetite approximated appointed pages. This is a glom tweet. Go get glom. We like hearing from you, so tweet and toot back or email us, contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. If you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. But that's it for this week.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice.
And don't cheat. And make nice.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.